Good morning, family. Wherever you may be listening this morning or watching or tuning in, thank you so much for being inspired by the Word of God. Thank you for your obedience and your humility to learn from the Word of God. I just want to encourage you. It's not me speaking to you this morning. I trust that the Spirit of God will be speaking to you this morning. And I'm just the vessel this morning. I'm just the messenger. But I trust that you'll be blessed, that the Lord would inspire you. And I want to encourage you to tap into the Word of God in these times we're living in. To let Scripture be your anchor. Let Scripture be the thing that sustains you and encouraging you in this time. That and the presence of God Himself, the Holy Spirit with us, our comfort, our encourager, the one who teaches us and breaks open Scripture for us. I really want to encourage you to hold on to that and be encouraged this morning wherever you are. I want to say I miss you. And I can't wait to be with you in person again. But until then, God has given us recordings and videos and audios. It's so amazing to still preach the gospel despite the restrictions that we're living under. But I'm excited this morning to share with us a series for the next few weeks from the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And I've entitled my message series called An Encounter with Love. And I trust that you would encounter love in this time and that you would be so filled with the love of God that you would overflow with the love of God. The world needs love, friends. Amen. The world needs love more than ever before. And I trust that God would show us who He is and what His love really is in our lives and impact us so much that we will just love the world in an amazing way. So I want to ask you this question this morning. Do you understand love? What is love to you? And I trust that Paul, through his writings to the book of, or to the Corinthian church in the book of 1 Corinthians 13, that you would discover this love of God. Because Paul is writing to a church filled with the Spirit of God, a church that should be operating in love, and it seems like they weren't fully operating in love because, yeah, he sort of brings them a little bit of correction. He brings them onto the path where they can understand what love is, but also what love is not. So let's read together, yeah, this amazing chapter of love. And I remember this chapter in 1 Corinthians 13 was read at the end of every matric year in our high school. Where I finished matric, I had this read to me, but I remember sitting in those assemblies for 4 years before the fifth year in my high school career was read to each of the matric classes that left at the end of the year. And I remember hearing it for the fifth time when I was in my matric year, hearing this passage, this exact same passage out of tradition being read. And it was just so powerful when Scripture is read and you just hear profound things. And it impacted my life then, and it still impacts my life even more. And the more I study this, the more I get into this Word, it's just so challenging how Paul writes and how the Word of God really, really challenges us in terms of what we understand about love and what love really is. So let's read together from 1 Corinthians 13, from verse 1. I'm going to read a few scriptures and then let's go through it and unpack it as we go. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Before we go further, I just want to look at these first three verses because Paul is so adamant here and he says, listen here, we can have every single gift, we can have faith, we can give our lives. But if we don't have this one thing, and he calls it the most excellent way, he says, I want to show you a more excellent way. He says, if we don't have this most excellent way, then we're nothing. And that's a wake-up call for us as Spirit-filled believers, for us as believers who have the gifts and have faith and have all these things. But if we don't have love, God says we're nothing. And that's challenging, and that's a wake-up call. And I believe Paul is urgent yet to these believers, and I believe it's the same urgency for us. Do we understand love? Do we know what love is? And so this is his introduction to it. And then he goes on And he starts to define what love is. Listen to what he says here. He says, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. And then the verse that I guess was read to all of us at school when we came into this place of manhood and of leaving school, that Paul writes, and he says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know, just as I also am known. And now abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. I want to say that again. The greatest of these is love. We have faith, we have hope, and we have love. And Paul is saying all of these are so important, but the greatest is love. And I want to look at the middle part of this whole chapter and look at it in more detail, because Paul describes in a few there's 14 things that he mentions of what love is and what love is not. So let's summarize them again. He says love is long-suffering and kind. Love is not envious. It does not envy, does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. And it's so amazing to realize that all of these characteristics are actually portrayed often as nouns or adjectives. But the reality is, friends, that these things are actually practical things that we can do. Love is a verb. Amen. And even though the translations portray them as adjectives or nouns describing something, these are actually doing words. They're actually verbs. They are actions. Love is an action. I want to say that again. Love is an action. And we can really get practical around these things. We can look at how do we live out these things in our everyday lives, because we are going to be challenged on these things every single day. Because why? We deal with people. And God wants to show us who He is. He wants us to have an encounter with His love and with what His love really is. And then we can see ourselves in that mirror. You see, love is a willful decision to sacrifice oneself. Just like Jesus Christ did, He willfully decided, because of love, love drove Him almost. Love encouraged Him. The Father sent Him with a purpose to love this world and to lay down His life for this world. That was the ultimate demonstration of love, for God so loved the world. But God demonstrates His love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The greatest demonstration of love. And I want us to look at these verses with that in mind, with an action in mind, and not just a feeling or an idea or a concept of love. It's truly an action. Amen. So let's start off with Paul writes, and today we're just going to look at the first four things in 1 Corinthians 13, chapter 4, verse 4, verse 4 of chapter 13. Let's look at the four things Paul mentioned. Next week, we'll carry on with the rest. But the first part of verse 4 says the following: love is long-suffering and kind. The Amplified says it like this, that love endures long and is patient and kind. A couple of concepts here that we can unpack. And the first one is that of long-suffering. Or in many translations, the word patience. Love is patient. Love is long-suffering. You can also translate it as patient endurance. John Gill, in his commentary on this, says the following, describing such a person who is long-suffering. He says such a person is slow to anger when abused. And I want you to think of yourself in this time. Are you slow to anger? Are you long-suffering, especially when circumstances get tense and you get squeezed? And in this pandemic we're living in this perfect storm, are we long-suffering? Are we patient? But you see, such a person is not quick of resentment, not hasty to revenge when affronted, but exercises forbearance, suffers long and bears much, and is ready to forgive. And I'm so challenged by this. I'm so challenged by this whole thing of long-suffering and patience. Patience, you see, is the Greek word which means to remain under or to abide under difficult circumstances, as when it is not possible to escape or avoid them. And isn't that what we find ourselves in this time? We find ourselves in a place where we have to be patient. There's circumstances beyond our control. Are we going to get frustrated, angry, and start to walk in the flesh? Or are we going to live in the patience and long-suffering that God portrays himself? The Vine's Expository Dictionary gives the following definition, or the following meaning. It means to bear up courageously under suffering. That is what patience is, to bear up courageously under suffering. And that is what love is, friends. Love is patient. Love is long-suffering. You see, long-suffering, on the other hand, is the Greek word which denotes remaining in a state of emotional quietness in the face of unfavorable circumstances. Patience, on the one hand, emphasizes an endurance in the midst of difficult circumstances, whereas long-suffering emphasizes the attitude or frame of mind during the difficult time. So I want you to see both of them, but to see the slight difference. Patience is more that endurance, that pushing through, whereas the long-suffering is the frame of mind, the almost that choice to just be calm, that state of mind, which allows us then to endure. So that they are very closely related, and many translations use the one or the other. But I believe love, friends, is both. And that's why the Amplified is so powerful. Love is both long-suffering and patient. Love's attitude is that of being quiet and being stable and being emotionally under control and being able to endure the worst of the worst circumstances. That is what love is, and I believe that is who God is. Amen. The Hebrew word in the Old Testament for long-suffering means slow to anger. Let's look at Psalm 86, verse 15 together. It says, "But you, O God, you, O Lord, are a God full of compassion and gracious." And David writes here and he says, "You are long-suffering, you're abundant in mercy and truth." All of these characteristics, which we can go in deeply into each one of them, but David specifically writes here and he says, "Lord, you're a God who's long-suffering. You have patient endurance with people, with us, Lord, with me, Lord." Is that the God that you've come to understand? Because if you can understand his long-suffering and his patience with you, you'll be able to have it with yourself and with others. You see, in Exodus chapter 34, this exact same, in verse 6, this very same description of who God is said by God himself to Moses. Moses, at a time when he's just broken the stone tablets and he's making the new ones and he's about to, you know, the Lord is about to write the commandments again on the two stones of tablet that Moses had to remake because he broke the previous ones. Such an example and a story of God being patient with Moses himself. And God comes and he says to Moses, "This is who I am. I am long-suffering. I am patient with you, Moses. I'm not quick to anger. I'm slow to anger." That is the God we serve, friends. You see, long-suffering or patience helps us to handle two things. First of all, difficult people and desperate circumstances. Are there possibly difficult people in your life right now? Are there desperate circumstances? That's the question. What are the circumstances you're experiencing, and what are the people, or who are the people that you may be struggling with? And are you able to be long-suffering with them or with the situation? Because that is who God is. That is the love of God. And then the second one is God is not only long-suffering, or love is not only long-suffering, but love is also kind, because God is kind. What is kindness? Kindness is the Greek word meaning to show oneself useful, that is to act benevolently. Listen to what Joel chapter 2 verse 13 says, and this is the place where the prophet Joel is calling the people to repent, calling them to turn back to God, and he says, rend your heart, tear your heart, don't tear your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and he relents from doing harm. I love what he says here. Joel says, this is a God of great kindness. That is love. Love is kind. John Gill, in his commentary on this piece of scripture in 1 Corinthians 13, says the following about this whole thing of kindness and the whole thing of someone who is kind. Talking here ultimately about God, he is easy and yielding to the tempers and humors of men. That is the kind God we serve. This great kindness that Joel speaks about in this verse. God is easy and yielding to the tempers and humors of men. He accommodates himself to their infirmities, capacities, manners, and circumstances. You see, God is kind towards us. To be kind means to be good-natured, gentle, tender, and affectionate. And friends, I also believe that to be kind is where we are generous, where we are giving. I remember my grandfather, when we were small, when we used to leave and say goodbye to him, he lived here in Bloemfontein. It was always so sad to say goodbye. We had such an amazing time, but he would always give us something. He would sneak a little bit of money into our hands out of his back pocket when we left. He almost didn't want my grand to see this money that he was giving us. But he was such a giver. And you know, if I have to describe my grandfather, he was exactly this. He was a gentle person. He was a kind person. Kindness would probably be the description I would give him, because he was giving, he was generous. He didn't live for himself, he lived for others. He was kind. And that is who God is. God is love. Love is kind. God is kind, and therefore love is kind. Love is generous. Love is giving. And I want to ask you, are you kind to people? Are you a kind person? Are you a giving, generous person? Because whether your giving or your generosity will determine whether you're kind or not. That's a good test. And God is a generous God. God is a loving, giving God. You see, love wishes well. Love wants the best for others. Love is not harsh, sour, ill-natured, or wanting revenge. And I want to ask this morning, if God is long-suffering and kind, can we also be? Is it possible for us to also be patient and long-suffering and kind, just like this word says, love is this? And I believe it's only possible if we encounter God himself. And what's so amazing is the fruits of the Holy Spirit are exactly two of these fruits of the nine that are mentioned in Galatians 5 are exactly these two, long-suffering and kindness. Fruits of the Holy Spirit. God wants us to encounter him as the one who is long-suffering and kind, the one who is patient and kind, who's got patience and kindness for us and with us. And he wants to fill us with his Spirit. He wants the best for us. He wants to fill us with his Spirit so we can also become like that, that we can grow into that long-suffering and kindness, that we can have it with ourselves and with other people. I want you to think of the person that you're most impatient with at the moment in your life. Because, you see, patience will lead to kindness. Amen. Impatience leads to unkindness. And that's why Paul puts these things together. He puts these two together because patience is almost the attitude or the state of mind out of which you're going to be kind. So love, friends, this morning. The first thing, love is patient or long-suffering, and love is kind. Then he goes on and he starts to say what love is not. So he started off with this amazing definition of what love is. Love is patient and kind. Then he says, love is not the following. Love is not or does not envy. The Amplified says, love never is envious nor boils over with jealousy. Challenging. What does it mean to be envious? The Greek word here is to have warmth of feeling for or against, to affect, to covet earnestly, to have, to desire, to move with envy, or to be jealous over. The Oxford Dictionary defines envy as the following: a feeling of discontented or resentful longing aroused by someone else's possessions, quality, or luck. You see, envy denotes a longing to possess something awarded to or achieved by another. There's a difference between envy and jealousy, and I just want to quickly look at the two and what the difference is, because the Amplified says envy and jealousy. Love is not envious, love is not jealous. So what is the difference? Very subtle difference. Envious is when you long for something that was, or you long to possess something awarded to or achieved by another. For example, someone inherits something, someone inherits a fortune. And it wasn't your inheritance, but you kind of envy, you wish you could have also inherited that. And so you envy that person. Jealousy, on the other hand, is when you could have received something. So let's say you're working for a company, or you're in class with someone and someone gets a promotion, someone gets a merit award or promotion. You're jealous because it could have been you. You were either second or third in line. You were not quite first, but you're jealous because you were really close. So envious is almost something that you couldn't really get, but you so wished you could. But jealousy is something that you maybe should have got, but you didn't. Maybe it was unfair. And that's the subtle difference, but they sort of work together. But I believe, friends, the place of jealousy and envy in our lives comes from a place of discontentment. You see, envy is a place where we discontent. Same with jealousy. We didn't get something that we should have gotten. Because maybe we're just not content with where we are. But the Bible says that love does not envy and love is not jealous. The Bible also says in James chapter 3, if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. Terrible fruits of this whole thing of envy and self-seeking. There's confusion, there's every evil thing, James writes. And friends, I believe the antidote to envy is something called contentment. I want to challenge you, because if love does not envy, then what is love? Love is content. God is content. God has no needs. God can be content, and therefore, or God is content, and therefore we can find contentment in God. Amen. And in His promises. I heard an amazing definition once of contentment. Contentment is the art of wanting what you already have. I want to say that again. Contentment is the art of wanting what you already have. So are you content in your life at the moment? And are you content with the promises of God? Because listen to this in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. The writer writes and says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Covetousness also speaks a little bit about envy. Envy is a place where we want something, we covet something. But love does not envy. But when we're at a place of envy, the Bible says, don't be like that. Don't be covetous. Don't have covetousness. Rather be content with such things as you have. And listen to this promise: for He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That is the love of God. The love of God never leaves us, never forsakes us. The love of God allows us not to be envious. That's why it says love does not envy. Because love brings us to a place of being content with the promises of God. And God's promises are that He will never leave you. He is enough for you, friend. I want to say that again. God is enough for you this morning. Is His Spirit and His Word enough for you? Are you content with Him? And let's let all the discontentment go out of our lives. Let's say, Lord, come and fill me with Your love again. Because I don't want to envy. I don't want to be envious or jealous of others. I want to be content in You. So who are you envying at the moment and why? Just answer that question briefly. Who are you envying and why? Think about it. God has given you enough for today. God has given me enough for today. Let's be content with who God is in our lives. Let's be content with His love and allow that love to impact us so much that we don't have to envy or be jealous of anyone around us. So I'm going to stop there this morning. I want to continue with the rest next week. But I trust that you be blessed by this word of love. And I want you to think about these two things I've mentioned this morning. I want you to think about the whole thing of long-suffering and kindness, love being this place of long-suffering and kindness, and love not being envious, love not envying others. And where are you at in your life? Where are you at in terms of impatience or lack of kindness in your life? Lack of generosity or giving, lack of just being content and not envying people the whole time, envying someone else or envying other circumstances. Let's be at this place where the love of God encounters us, where the love of God is enough for us, because love changed the world. Amen. And love wants to change us so much so that we can flow out into this world and we can touch others' lives with this love that is long-suffering, that is kind, and that does not envy. Let's pray together this morning as we close. Father, I want to thank you this morning for your word that says, Lord, that love is truly long-suffering, love is patient, love is kind. Lord, and I thank you that you are long-suffering, that you are patient, that you are kind. Lord, and that you, in your love, do not envy. But Lord, thank you that you also want us to come to this place of patience and kindness. You want to fill us with your Holy Spirit, that we can be patient and kind, that we can not envy, Lord, that we can be content with who you've made us to be and with what we have in you. So Jesus, I thank you that we can surrender to your love this morning. Thank you that your love changes us. We receive your love afresh again. Thank you for a new encounter with your love this morning, for each one watching, each one listening. And I pray that you'd bless them, and you'd help them to grow more and more into your likeness. In Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless you. Thank you for watching this morning. Thank you for listening. And may you grow more and more into his love. May you encounter love that comes from God. Love that is long-suffering and patient and kind and that does not envy. In Jesus' name. The Lord bless you. Thank you so much.